I came across an article not too long ago about some pelicans in California. If you've ever seen pelicans in action, you know that pelicans know how to fish. They look a bit awkward when they do it, and it is quite humorous when you see it for the first time, but they do know how to fish. But these particular pelicans were hanging out in a harbor where fishing boats came to unload their catch of the day. And it seems that in these boats, the fishermen, when they got in to the harbor, they would sit on the decks of their boats, and there they would clean the fish to get them ready for market. And as they cleaned them, they threw the fish heads out into the water. And the pelicans would swoop down on them. And it may not sound too good for you and for me, but for pelicans it's a feast. And so they had all this free food, eating the leftovers without having to go out into the open ocean and fish. And if you're a pelican, that's pretty good eating. So the pelicans would sit in the harbor waiting for the fishing boats to come in week after week, year after year. But after a while, the fishermen discovered that they could sell that fish waste and further profit from their work. So they stopped throwing the leftovers in the water and started preserving them in buckets on deck. But there were the pelicans. They didn't know what to do. They were caught thoroughly unprepared. They continued to sit and wait all day for the fishing boats to come into the harbor. And when they came in, they would sit and wait for the fishermen to throw the fish parts over the side into the water. But it didn't happen anymore. And the pelicans grew thinner and thinner and thinner and seemed to be able to do nothing about their situation. Eventually, wildlife officials came to check on what was happening with these birds, and they concluded that the pelicans had forgotten how to fish. And so their solution was to find some pelicans from another region, bring them in and make them part of that flock in the harbor so they could teach the harbor pelicans how to fish again. Jesus came to teach his followers to fish for people. But we have forgotten how to fish. All the while, flocks of people, not only on the other side of the world, but right here in the community in which we live, are starving for want of the living bread which nourishes for life and life eternal. Our church, this church, First Church, great as it is a mere shadow of what it would be if only we could remember how to fish. But there is good news in this regard. What we have forgotten does not need to stay forgotten. As a matter of fact, a significant benefit of what we are going to be doing in the 40 Days of Purpose program that this congregation will participate in a grand way, one of the things that we will be learning is how to fish again. Some of the things that we need to know, the skills that we need to develop, the memory we need to resurrect, to help us know how to fish again. Look with me, though, at the text of Mark's Gospel. In that text are also some helpful insights that we need in order to be able to fish again. First of all, the characters, Simon and Andrew, James and John. Now, for the last two millennia, those names have been well known to the church. However, at the time of Jesus, those names weren't well known. They were just average folks. Poor folks, as a matter of fact, common people. The ones whom Jesus chose to do His work were common, ordinary people. Not celebrities, not stars, not well-known, but plain, ordinary folks. And where were they? When Jesus called out to them, where were they? Were they at church? Were they in the synagogue or the temple? Were they at some spiritual retreat? No. No, they were at work. They were catching fish, mending nets, doing what they did every day, going about their normal routine. That's the kind of people that Jesus calls upon, that Jesus needs to do His work. Everyday, common people doing the things that they do all the time. And not always people who are in the synagogue or the temple or the church. You see, it's easy for us to tend to think that Jesus is here and Jesus is nowhere else. And this is where we come to meet God. But my friends, just like you and me, Jesus spends most of His time outside these walls, walking the streets, sitting in the homes, ministering to the needs. Jesus spends most of His time outside of here, just like you and I do. Jesus drops in every now and then, as we do, but spends most of His time elsewhere. But the most interesting thing about this text for me, the most fascinating thing is this. When Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John, what did He call them to do? He said, follow Me, right? He didn't say, worship Me. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, worship Me. He didn't say, imitate My every move. He didn't say, limit yourself to My understandings and My attitudes. He said, follow Me. In other words, tag along with Me is how I would have said it when I was a kid. These days, our kids say, hang out with Me. When our kids come home, about the best picture of them that Wendy and I have these days is as they go out the door putting their jacket on, where are you going? I'm going to hang out with my friends. And hang out could mean anywhere. It could mean a restaurant. It could mean a mall. It could mean a friend's house. It just might mean walking down the street. Going to hang out. And that's what Jesus invites us to do. Hang out with Him. Spend some time doing what Jesus is doing, learning from what Jesus is teaching, spending time with the people Jesus spends time with. Follow Me. Hang out with Me. Now, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, no doubt they were acquainted with Jesus before He came along and just said, follow Me. They had heard about Him. They may have spent a little time with him, listening to what He said to the crowds. Maybe hanging around at the end of a time to talk with Jesus personally. They had perhaps felt some of the magic of His presence. And so when He called them, when He identified them and said, you follow Me, they were ready. Just being around Jesus, picking up on the things that Jesus thinks is important, seeing what He cares about, getting upset about what He gets upset about, learning what His priorities are. The more time we spend with Jesus, prayer and study, fellowship, the better disciples we become, the better we're able to fish. Another thing to notice, though, in the text, Jesus did not just have a summons to come and hang out. That was part of it. Follow Me. But He also had a task for them to do. He had work for them to do, important work. Follow Me and I will teach you how to fish for people. You have some fishing skills already, He might have said to them. But you need to put those skills to work in the service of the kingdom. And this is the primary task of Christian disciples. To cast the nets, bait the hooks, to reach outside of the boat and draw in those who are not part of the team. I wish that I could say that the church throughout the centuries has taken that task seriously, but we have not. Perhaps we would do better if we talked a bit more about it. First thing to know about fishing is that you can't catch any fish if there are none to be caught. If the pond or the lake or the river is empty of fish, you can't catch any. But when it comes to doing the kind of fishing that Jesus calls us to do, there aren't any empty rivers or lakes or ponds. They are all plenty full. I know that's the excuse many folks use for why they cannot fish for people. They say they don't know anyone who isn't already caught. I don't know anyone who's not already a part of Christ's church. But you want to know the facts? If you look at the facts for Mechanicsburg and Cumberland County, you will find that about half of the folks who live in this county with us are effectively unchurched. Oh, they may have their name on a church roll somewhere, but that doesn't mean they're part of the fellowship of believers. They have not been to church for at least 6 months for anything other than a wedding or a funeral or a Christmas or an Easter. We don't have to look throughout the county to find that going on. We just have to look at ourselves. Because you know, nearly half of the folks who are on the membership rolls of this church are folks whom we never see, who are not effectively part of the church, even though their name is on the roll. I guess the analogy might be that there are fish who've jumped out of the boat and they need to be caught again. The good news is that there are gracious plenty of fish out there. No need to worry that there are no fish in the sea for us to catch. There are plenty. It also helps to know when the fish are biting. If you live near the coast or in an area where people do a lot of fishing, you'll find that it's a regular part of the weather forecast on television that you will hear about the best time for anglers to go out on the water, about what the best times of year, best times of day are. And they keep track of the transitions that are going on in the weather and in the barometric pressure and so on. One of the best opportunities for us to seek and gather the fish that Jesus sends us after is at a moment of transition in their lives. Not a transition in the weather, but a transition in life. Perhaps a birth or a death or a new home or a new job or no job. One experienced fisherman wrote this: "The dedicated fishermen in my neighborhood are ever watchful and sensitive to change. They watch the currents in the water. They sniff the air for moisture. They are aware of changes in the weather as lows and highs invade the atmosphere. They watch for the terrain under the boat, looking for habitat in which contain fish. And they change. When the circumstances change, they go to deeper water. They switch lures. They try a different kind of bait. They position themselves according to the sun so that the light hits them and the water correctly. They adjust their strategy depending on whether they're in clear water or darker water." All of those are good lessons for those of us who fish for people as well. Be sensitive to the changes in people's lives, changes that just might make them hungry for a word of good news. And what kind of bait do you use when you're fishing for people? There are different kinds, you know. You have to have something to attract fish, no matter what kind you're fishing for. It might be a flashy lure or a scrumptious worm. But to expect the fish just to jump into the boat, it won't work. Successful fishers of people will offer to people something that attracts them. The warmth of a friendly smile and a handshake is all it takes. Sometimes all you have to say is, "How would you like to come to church with me this weekend?" But a better strategy is to invite folks to a special event, like a 40 Days of Purpose meeting in your home, or a passion play, or an Ash Wednesday service, or Christmas Eve, or Christmas Day. Be creative, but be specific. You and I are in one of the most exciting congregations in this part of the country, and we have ample opportunity and ample reason to invite folks to come and join us, to become a part of this fellowship, to begin to draw them into the, the boat of Jesus' care. Recently, there was a study done by the Alban Institute that asked the question, why don't some churches grow? And the conclusion of the report that resulted from that study said this: how easy it is for us to forget what draws people to congregations in the first place. It is namely their hunger for an authentic encounter with God. That's what people are looking for. That's what draws them to church. An authentic encounter with God, one that has a transforming effect on their lives. In our study, they said, the congregations were much more interested in maintaining their corporate life than they were in offering a transforming experience, either for a visitor or for a long-term member. The basic assumption seemed to be, if we serve our own people well, then outsiders will see it and they'll come and join us. Missing completely in their study was any desire to find out about the spiritual needs of those who were outside the church, or to see if their congregation had the ability to meet those needs. Follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for people, Jesus said. Paul Harvey noted, too many Christians are no longer fishers of people, but they are keepers of the aquarium. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of people. I will teach you how to fish for people. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be daunting or hard. When I was a child, about 8 years old, my family moved to this part of the country. We were from Southern Virginia. It's where I was born and grew up. But we moved to the Hummelstown and Hershey area, not too far from here. And we didn't know anybody in this part of the country. It was a brand new place for us. And so my parents and my sister and brother and I just kind of landed here and had to figure out how you get acquainted with a new place that you'd never lived before. It was a new experience for my parents, too. They moved from the place of their birth at the same time I moved from mine. And we didn't know for churches either. We had been Baptists in Southern Virginia, but there weren't any of those in Hummelstown and Hershey in those days. And so we didn't know what to do. You had all kinds of funny churches like EUB churches, you know, like this one used to be. And fortunately, we had a neighbor who simply came and recognized our need to get acquainted in this community and find our way around. And this neighbor of ours said, would you like to come and join us in church on Sunday? We'd like to show you where our church is because we think it's a pretty terrific place. Well, you know, we went with them that Sunday. And one of the results of our having gone with them that day is that I'm here today. You know, I'm sure that family didn't have in mind, well, perhaps they didn't even have in mind the words of Jesus, I'll teach you how to fish for people. They were simply doing the important work of welcoming a new family to the community, recognizing some of our disorientation in an incredible transition, and reaching out in hospitality and friendship, welcoming us to a new part of the country, welcoming us to their community, welcoming us to their church. And, well, depending on your perspective this morning, you may or may not appreciate what they did, because the result is you're stuck with me. It's not hard work. It's not difficult work. It's not highly skilled labor to which Jesus calls us, but it does take focus and intention. And much of what we need to do as a congregation, and ours is not the only one, is to learn how to fish again. To take every opportunity we have to practice the skills that we need, to learn what they are and practice them, and then adopt for ourselves, remember for ourselves, some of the urgency with which Jesus came to us and the urgency with which he spoke those words, come and follow me, I'll teach you to fish for people. It's not a daunting task, but it is an urgent one for us and for our world. Would you pray with me? You move among us in mysterious ways, God. Sometimes we recognize how you are with us in some of the things we experience in our homes, in our church, at work, some of the joys of our lives, some of the most meaningful things that we experience, the fellowship of family and friends. We recognize how you are present and how deeply you love us. But sometimes you move among us in unexpected ways. You call us to fish for people. You call us to follow you. And so often the ways that we follow you can be a bit uncomfortable and a bit strange to us. The ways that we need to follow you can be challenging, and sometimes they are difficult. But speak to us once again and continue speaking to us your loving word. Remind us of the urgency of your mission, how vitally important it is that all the people of the world know the message which you speak, the message of God's undying love for us and for all people. Remind us of how urgent it is for us to proclaim that word and to fish for people as we seek to learn again the skills that we need to do so. Walk with us this journey so that all that we do and prepare to do might be in accord with your call and might be of service to the kingdom which you seek to establish among us. Receive us in our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.